Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is the one, the only Scary Cast. I'm Dr. John Stamey, and it's so good to have everybody here with us. We've got a great show lined up. It's called UFOs and You. For some reason this week, everybody has had, all of our co-hosts have had a UFO story that they wanted me to post, which of course I did. And I think we're going to have a really entertaining and enlightening show. First of all, I would like to introduce the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, Dr. Trey Donaway. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great, John. Thank you.
Well, we're so glad to have you here. And Robin and Mark will be here with us. They are delayed with Christmas parties. We know about that. So anyway, Trey, you sent a very, very interesting article, which I would give the A-plus for this show, about brain functions and pictures of the brain and everything. Tell us a little bit about that article, because that is a really, really interesting thing.
This morning, I just was looking at news, my news stream, and the New York Post had an article entitled "Look Inside People's Brains Who Said They've Had a UFO Encounter." Well, to back up a second, you know, when we're talking about UFOs, people want proof. And the proof people have is usually a photograph or a video or some visual proof, but that's of the craft, that's of the UFO, that's of something in the sky or something that has come down or is in space, or that's been all the visual proof. But this visual proof may not be a proof, but it will be some type of evidence, is a series of MRIs that were done on people that had encounters with what they claim UFO abductions. And in some of those instances, they found some changes seen on an MRI. And I never really thought about that. But if someone is physically changed, you know, we've all heard about the Havana syndrome. And this author, Gary Nolan, well, that's not the author of the article, but Gary Nolan is a professor of pathology at Stanford University. He's published a bunch of research articles, holds a bunch of patents, and he's, according to this article, originally published in The Sun, he has spent the past decade analyzing material from alleged encounters. And this is the problem. When we read reports about a research paper, you can't just run with one report that was published in a research paper, because lots of bad research gets published unless it's gone through a pretty rigorous peer review and it's a very prestigious article or paper that has been vetted by the scientific community. That's where a lot of the misinformation about coronavirus is occurring, because somebody published something, whether it's true or not, the media runs with it, and you never know or you never hear about it again, because if it's just bad research, and there's a lot of bad research out there, publish or perish. So people are always eager to publish so they can prove that they're using grant money and they're publishing articles and publishing information, but whether it's accurate or not. So, again, this is a single article that was written, and it's really hard to tell exactly if that is a verifiable article. But what it tells me is that if you do look at brains of people who were exposed to either Havana syndrome, and nobody really knows what that is from what I can read, or if it was abnormalities seen from brain damage from a supposed UFO or UAP exposure. So it evidently his involvement, Dr. Nolan's involvement with this became after he was asked to use blood analysis to help with cases of pilots who were close to alleged UAPs and had brain damage. And they said that if you look at somebody with an MRI, a certain percentage of these folks had some abnormalities that appeared, from my analysis of it, appeared to be reproduced on other films. Now, I don't know anything about the veracity of any of that, but what I do know, what I can say, is that I think this would open up a whole new way of evaluating somebody who claims they had a UFO encounter, and it would be an interesting study to truly do MRIs, which doesn't affect you in any way. It doesn't hurt you. It's not radiation. So it's a fairly painless problem or painless procedure for you. But if science were to evaluate people's brains after they've supposedly had a brain injury from a UFO, it would be interesting to see what that looked like, especially if they had a previous examination of some reason. Then they could look at it before and after. But I just think it opens up a whole new area for research to try to see if this is more than just happenstance or more than a coincidence.
Well, now that's an interesting thing to say, because what I have done is I have contacted my doctor's office and I have asked them to send me my MRI results. Because I think that's interesting because, you know, I believe that I have been abducted 8 times. Therefore, if I had been abducted 8 times or had, you know, some serious time lapses, then, you know, maybe there would be something. So we're going to get those, and I will get those to you, and we can look at them, and you can tell me what you think. Because I would assume that you – as a surgeon, as one of the preeminent surgeons in South Carolina, you can certainly look at an MRI and tell if there's something weird, correct?
Well, from the description, it's going to be a fairly obvious thing. But being a surgeon with an MRI of the brain, I am certainly not an expert. To me, they look like weather maps. So I don't know how expert I am at looking at a brain MRI. I think I'd be much more comfortable looking at a liver MRI or a gallbladder MRI. But certainly from the description of the New York Post article, now again, that's not a fine medical journal we're talking about. So we don't know exactly what the truth is here. But if it's an obvious problem notified to John when you had your MRI done, I don't think they would have said we don't see anything. There would certainly be something to see according to this type of report. But you know, if your brain is exposed to some type of a force. Nuclear, radiological, biological, it causes some material change in your brain that shows up on an MRI, and that would be an interesting pursuit. Now, but at the same time, the article talks about the Chinese space agency that found a tiny hut on the moon and dubbed it a mysterious house after spotting a cube-shaped object on the far side of the lunar surface. Now, when I read Serious Science, when I read something like that, which is not founded on any science, but rather an observation from one single photograph, it makes you worry about the content of the entire article. However, that said, I think that would be an interesting study to find people that have claimed to be affected by a UAP or a UFO or have had an abduction and do scans on the brain and see if there's any correlation. You could certainly tell what the average finding would be. How often does this show up just in the general public? And then see if it happens at a more increased frequency and people that have claimed to have had a UFO encounter of the very close and personal kind.
Right. Well, that sounds interesting, and that's something that we can certainly look at least with my MRI, and because I can get that, and I've been able to order that, and they said they'd have it for me to pick up. So I'll get that to you, and, of course, I'll have a wonderful time at your lake house, and we'll have a wonderful time. And, by the way, we have the Queen of Scarycast with us, Robin McRae. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing good. Sorry I'm late, guys. I had a little bit of technical difficulty on this end. So glad to be here.
That's okay.
Happy to have you,
Robin. Of course, we're glad to be with you. And Trey and I were discussing a research article, or at least a report of a research article, about some UFO encounters and brain scans. So it was kind of interesting. So what we were going to do tonight is we were going to talk about UFO observations and things like that. So what do you have for us tonight, Robin?
Pardon?
Robin, what we talked about is that when people hear about a UFO encounter or a UAP encounter, we look for photographic evidence. That seems to be the most common thing where it says, well, did you get a photograph of it? Did you get a video of it? But what this article was about was MRI scans on people that have had UFO encounters, and evidently, according to this one article, which is, I don't actually know if this is published in a scientific publication or if it was just a news article, that there's an increased preponderance of visual changes on the MRI of brains of people that have had a close UFO, UAP phenomenon, which really kind of just changes your perspective rather than looking for visual evidence of the actual UAP, UFO. It's you're looking at visual evidence that shows up on an MRI and if it changed the morphology of the brain from that encounter. And if that is true, then you would think there would be a preponderance of these changes among people that have claimed to have had a UFO encounter of the very up close and personal type. So that's the premise of the theorem behind this.
Okay.
You know, the victim of the UFO abduction may have morphological changes to the brain, which can be detected on scans at some point after the encounter. Do you think after someone has had that type of an experience, and I know both you and John have had those type of experiences, did you notice any difference in your mentation and your ability to think in your perception? Do you notice anything affected your brain in some way that affected your behavior or your thought patterns?
Well,
encounter.
When I was 4 was the first time I remembered being abducted. And when I was there, they told me that I had been there before. I don't have a memory of being abducted prior to that, but according to the ETs, I was. So in that respect, I don't remember it prior. Now, when I was 4, I just remember being placed back at home. And the next day, I had no memory of it until, you know, weeks later, months or whatever, and then I started having these very vivid memories of it. Now, later on in life, as the abductions continued, I would have some memories at the time, and I would remember them in the morning. Other times, and I think it's been more than one race that has bothered me, because the ships have been different looking. One instance in particular, I was actually, and I think we may have talked about this on the show before, I was talking to someone on the phone. I was outside. It was dark out. And I had walked outside because it was a private conversation, and I didn't want, my children were home, and I didn't want them hearing about a lot of it. It had to do with the Bigfoots and stuff. And so I watched the ship come down and hover off probably off the ground about 5 feet. And then next thing I knew, it was an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours later. I'm standing there with an empty, with a phone in my hand, and my person I was talking to wasn't there anymore. I called him back, and he said, "Oh, there you are. I thought your phone died. It went all staticky, and then you were gone, and I tried to call you back, and I couldn't get you." And at that time, I felt like I was on autopilot. I got off the phone with him. I walked in the house, and it was like my brain knew something was going on. My body was not reactive. I walked in, and I remember thinking, why am I not responding? Like, I literally walked in. I said to the kids, has everybody had showers, snacks, and ready for bed, and homework's done? And they said, yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to bed, because my kids were teenagers. I walked into the bedroom and shut the door. I never did that before. That was not something that was normal for me. I didn't go to bed until my kids were in bed. And I was, you know, the mom that walked around and checked on everybody, and I didn't. I just went in. I took a bath. I went and I lay down. I went to bed, and I stayed in that non-responsive state for 3 days. I didn't really talk a lot. The kids kept asking me if I was all right, and I felt like I was on autopilot. My brain was working. I couldn't formulate a lot of speech, a lot of mannerisms. I was non-reactive, but my brain was still thinking, and in my brain I was going, why am I not responding? I feel like I'm having this out-of-body experience. And 3 days later, I walked in my front door, which was the same door I had come in from that night. I walked in the house, shut the door, and it was like somebody flipped a switch, and the trance that they had put on me was gone. And I hyperventilated. I was running around my house going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I had just taken the kids to school, so there was nobody home. And it was like I melted down. I cried. I hyperventilated. I couldn't catch my breath. I was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my God. You know, I didn't know who to call. I didn't know what to do.
Now, did you remember any of that missing hour and 45 minutes?
No. No. Whatever went on, it had to have been pretty horrific because I was panicked. I was in sheer panic mode. And in prior abductions, that was not the case. So, I mean, I literally was in panic mode. And to this day, I've not remembered what they did to me. Another time,
have you, Robin, just as a follow-up, have you ever had a head CT or sinus CTs? Or,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because here's the thing. I mean, I've had ET abductions my entire life. And I was born in 64. In 19...
Right.
93, I had a 28 by 32 pole barn door break off the track and come down on top of my head. I was knocked unconscious.
Okay.
I was in and out of consciousness for 2 weeks and multiple head scans, of which I've had seizures ever since. And they never found anything other than, and I had had MRIs on the brain before because I was diagnosed in my 20s with fibromyalgia, which usually is not diagnosed when you're that young. And they were concerned that it was a neurological problem as well. And they did scans. They never saw anything different. Like I said, I'm not saying that that isn't a possibility for some people, but I am saying that was not my case. And then they didn't.
From what I can read from this article, it's not 100%, but there were a
right.
number of people with these abnormalities in the what they said. They said as
sure, and
the,
I believe it's
the
possible.
Author said. The author said that if you've ever seen anyone who has had multiple sclerosis, there's white matter disease.
And see, that's what they were checking me for when they did my scans because I had fibro and RA so severe.
Mm-hmm.
And when they checked my scans, and in the beginning, this was before that particular event, but I had already had multiple abductions prior to this. And at that time, they didn't
right.
find anything, you know. But I would like to say this on it. Do I think it's possible that there would be something show up on a scan? I do, but at the same time, there's a reason why I say possibly. There's so many hundreds of thousands of races of ETs, okay? Obviously, Not all are bad, not all are good. But they all do various different things to you. Now, I mean, I've been abducted by the good ones. I've been abducted by the bad ones. But I do know this. They are extremely, extremely careful about making sure that nobody knows that they've done anything to a person.
Leave no trace.
Exactly. So I find it, in one hand, hard to believe that there would be a change that they would allow. But at the other hand, I have to be realistic and say, with all the thousands of different races, it's not what I would consider to be unheard of. Mm-hmm. So I do think there is that possibility, but I think it would depend on what race took you and what was done with you. It's like they have implants, okay? I work with people all over the globe that have been abductees. I have people that have implants that I have actual photos of the x-rays showing the implant. Every time they tried to take it out, it moves. I have other people that have implants that they can't get an x-ray on, but yet they were basically awake when the implant was put in. I have a situation in my left ear that for years I didn't know what it was. I really didn't. I've never had it x-rayed, to be honest with you, but when there's a lot of ET activity out and about, if I see UFOs in the sky or whatever, all of a sudden my ear drains. My inner ear never hurts, but it drains like a weird milky concentration, and it gets all crusty in my ear, and it drives me nuts because it feels like my ear vibrates.
Does it drain externally through the ear canal or internally through your station tube?
Externally,
so you
it comes
would,
right
it would,
out
it would,
my ear.
It would end up inside your head rather than on the outside.
No, it goes out. It does. If it's draining in, I'm not aware of it. It only leaks out. It comes out through my ear. And it's like if you were to take your finger and put it where your ear meets your head, that's where it comes from.
Right.
And okay. I've gone in multiple times and had the doctor look at it and said, look, I've got – it's like a yellowish, milky color that's – thick in consistency, and it comes out, and it gets all crusty. Do I have an ear infection? I don't have any pain. But it seems to, whatever this stuff is, it irritates the skin in my ear because it literally will make the outside of my ear bleed. And mm-hmm. I've had it looked at multiple times. None of it is on the inside at all. They've not seen anything when looking at my ear. I've never had an x-ray done of it. But there is a serious correlation with when the ETs are around. Not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I was fine. I got that humming sensation. The drainage started, and within a matter of minutes, I had no equilibrium. Could not walk to save my soul. When I tried to walk, I hit the floor. I felt ill or anything. I just had no equilibrium. And right around that same time, UFOs were up in the sky. You know, it's very odd. Like I said, can I prove any of it? No. I mean, other than people that are around me that have seen it when it does it and seen
but
the ETs
no, when
around
they,
here
when,
in the
when
UFOs.
When you have the doctor look at your ear, the tympanic membrane, the TM that you can see when you're looking in the external exam, that was intact, didn't show any holes in it. There was nothing draining from the tympanic membrane.
Nope, everything was fine. Yeah. I even had
one
doctor.
The fact that you had an equilibrium problem implies
would be inner ear.
Neurologic brain or the inner ear, which is on the other side of the tympanic membrane with the semicircular canals. So very, very curious. Very curious.
Yeah, it's very odd. Very, very odd. Like I said, and it was years before I really realized what it was. And the only reason the light bulb finally went on was because it was driving me nuts because of the humming in that ear. And it felt like it vibrated in that ear, and then the drainage would come. And I finally asked one of the Bigfoots, I said, you know, Brownie's mom is a healer, and I just love her. She's helped me many times. So I said to him, I said, will you have your mom look at my ear because this is driving me nuts. Like, I'm not sick. I feel perfectly fine. I have no pain down deep in my ear. And I've tried everything. Nothing is making this, you know, and it only lasts for 2 or 3 days, and then it always goes away. And he said, yeah, I would. And she said, well, there's an implant in there. And I was like, all the implants I get out of them, can you guys get this thing out of me? And mm-hmm. I felt her trying to get it out, and she said she couldn't. And I've tried to get it out. I can't get it out either. So it's just there. And months can go by, and it'll be dormant, and then let there be lights in the sky or where we think we see an ET out in the yard like we do multiple times, and then the humming starts, and it's the same thing. It did it in Michigan. It did it here in South Carolina. It's just not changed. You know, I mean.
Well, I guess that raises the question is if you've had an alien abduction and mm-hmm. whether you can remember or not what they've done, are there any cardinal signs on a physical examination of someone who has had an alien abduction that is a frequent findings? What are the frequent findings of changes
like
to a human body after an abduction?
It's the marks, I think, the physical marks. Now, my daughter I think they've taken her before. She doesn't remember being taken, but she does remember them showing up in her room. And there's a triangular pattern where it's like three dots that form this triangle. And it's been on me. It's been on her. It's been on my husband. I've had...
Where do they show? Is it the same place? Or is it variable?
Usually on the legs or on the upper arm. On the legs or the upper arm. I've only had it
and
one time
triangle,
on my abdomen.
How far between the points? Is it a similar distance?
I want to say about an inch.
Variable.
Not even an inch.
About an inch. Okay.
Yeah. The other thing that I've gotten before, and this is kind of bizarre, I know, is I've had on the inside of my thighs handprints of long, woke up, long, spindly fingers. And generally the one that I've had it happen the most, there's been three fingers. The middle finger being extremely long with pronounced knuckles. There's the three fingers and then there's a thumb. And I've had that happen multiple times. And it's been on the inside of my thigh. So, yeah, I mean, there's been physical evidence of it. Other times I'll wake up and I'll have bruising on my abdomen, no idea why, or bruises on different parts of my body that are unexplained, that make no sense. I mean, it's one thing to think that maybe, you know, you bumped yourself in the middle of the night or whatever, but this is severe bruising. Severe bruising. And generally at the same time, any of those things happen, any of the physical marks, the dreams are different. And we've talked about mm-hmm. this. I've talked about this on other shows as well. There is a way to tell if the dreams you're having are ET related. They can imitate people in your past, as far as their looks. They can imitate the body movements. They cannot imitate the voices. They just can't. And people will get dreams all the time, and they just think, why am I having these weird dreams? Or maybe it's a scary nightmare or something. And in some of the cases, not all by any means, but in some of the cases, they are actually ETs. They can attack in dream state. They can do just as much damage in dream state. But I learned a long time ago, because they were coming at me in dream state as well as awake. And I finally figured out how to tell if it was them, and is they can't imitate the voice. They just can't. And I did get confirmation on that, so I knew I was right. But what they would do is they would, you know, people in my past from when I was a kid that maybe I met, you know, one time or a past loved one or whatever, and all of a sudden I'd have these dreams about them that made no sense, some of which could be frightening, some of them weren't, but they made no sense. They were just like this bizarre, random dream out of nowhere, and then in the morning I'm completely exhausted. just exhausted like I never slept. And I started taking notes on them. And what I noticed was the movements were accurate, the looks were accurate, but they wouldn't speak. And when they'd speak, they wouldn't look at me. And when they would speak, they would be just the fewest words possible. And that's when I finally figured it out. And then there's a gentleman that I've worked with for 9-10 years now that has been actively abducted by the ETs most of his life, and it was pretty violent. And when I met him, the reason I met him was because I was asked by his uncle to help him, and I did, and I was able to stop the attacks and give him some peace, and we've stayed friends ever since. Well, then, I want to say it's been almost a year now. He contacted me, and he said he was taken, and I said, what do you mean? Like, what changed? Like, all these years, you've been fine. Nobody's bothered you, and he said, no, it's different this time. He said, I felt nothing but love from them. He said, but you know, you're the only person I've ever talked to about it. And I said, yeah, I know that. Why? And he said, because they told me to give you a message. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, they were specific, the woman that you talked to about us. And basically, they wanted me to know how they set up the abductions, what goes on, how it transpires, and that I was supposed to be this mouthpiece to warn people about what's actually happening. And that people wouldn't believe me, that I would be mocked, I'd be ridiculed, but I was supposed to, you know, forge on and put that message out there so people would be able to, you know, be aware of what was happening. The problem is people don't want to know. You know, I haven't really done as much with it as I probably should have. I have just recently brought it up on a couple of different podcasts to kind of see how it goes. But most people don't want to know. They really don't. And, you know, I'm happy to share the information, but it just, I don't know. You know, it's not something that people are going to believe because they're not ready for it. And you can't stop it. Okay, there's really no way to stop it. Now, I mean, I've been attacked, I've been abducted, and you can use energy to fight them off, and that does work. But
they
can't imitate the voice.
Did they give you a reason? Did they give you a reason for the abductions? I mean, is there a rational reason? We are abducting you because why?
Yeah, but most people would never believe me. So, I mean, it has to do with DNA. It has to do with reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just really, it's so far down the rabbit hole that people, they just can't wrap their heads around it. And I wish that they could, because this goes on daily. This, I mean, I'm not being abducted daily, but they abduct all over the world. I mean, if you go back even 100 years, our government sold us to the ETs. It's a fact. It's not something made up. Do the homework on the internet, you'll see it. I mean, even before Eisenhower signed the treaty, there was a treaty signed before that. And basically, in exchange for technology, they were allowed to abduct X amount of people. The treaty stated clearly with the first group, and again with the second group, but with the first wave that they did, was that no harm. Our government expected them to not harm us, not let us remember what was being done, but that no harm would come, that they were allowed to do this for genetic purposes only. In exchange, our government got technology. And I always tell everybody, and everybody laughs at me, and that's okay. I'm used to it by now. But if anybody out there really believes that we came from living in caves with a club and beating on rocks the computers, and it was all us, then I would love to sell them swampland in Florida. Because really in the whole spectrum, we are not the brightest of the species. And I don't mean that to be mean or derogatory. It's just realistically, compared to what other beings have on the intelligence level, we are not the brightest out there. And there's been such massive jumps in technology. It has to come from somewhere. Even though our scientists are highly skilled, we have so many ETs that are scientists that work within the government. I mean, if you just trace it all back. And so that was the first treaty. The second treaty, and this is public knowledge on the internet, Eisenhower signed a treaty with the ETs in exchange for technology. And there's been multiple treaties signed since then. The problem with the first treaty was the ET group that they worked with, that they believed were good, were not. They truly were not. And they hurt us. They hurt our people. They abducted whenever they wanted to, and they did whatever they wanted to do. Now, I don't know of the treaties in between that and the Eisenhower treaty, but I would, from what I've been able to deduce, I'm sure there are probably multiple ones. You know, Eisenhower's treaty didn't go much better, but then you look at the Area 51 situation where they, you know, the Ebens had crashed and they had the Ebens, and the Ebens were actually supposed to be one of the more peaceful races, and they, to my knowledge, never did anything to hurt anybody. That was where they had the Project Serpo, where they took 13 of our people or 12 of our people and took them to Project or to Planet Serpo with the Ebens, and they were supposed to be there for a few years and ended up being there for 9-10 years, something like that. And they, as far as I know, never actually hurt anybody. However, some of the archaeopods that did come on the planet were extremely dangerous, and we had problems with those. But the Ebens, the one that they had for a few years, taught our government a multitude of technology. I mean, this is all stuff that anybody can check the facts. I mean, the internet is loaded with them. They're just now bringing them out. And now a lot of these people that were in the government that were sworn to secrecy, their lives were threatened to keep this secret. Their families' lives were threatened. But now they're older, and they're you know, 90 years old or more, and they're getting near death, or they're sick and they're dying or whatever. They're singing like canaries because nobody was ever allowed to know this stuff. You know, why these particular ETs wanted me to know what they told me, I think it's probably not because of anything to do with it being me, as much as I just happen to be the person that helped my friend. I think that's the only reason they gave me the information. I mean, they talked about the ETs that come in and they watch a person from the time they're born, from infancy up. They study them for decades, learning their mannerisms, who's involved in their life, who their friends are, how they react to everything. They learn every single thing there is to know about them. They watch them 24 hours a day, 8 days a week. So when it's time to take over, they simply pull their soul out, and the ET, the bad ETs go in it, and they continue on their merry way. But they, and this is the thing, I had already figured out the part about the voices. I never told that to anybody. I didn't even tell my husband that about the voices. And when this message came to me from my friend, one of the key parts of it said, you'll know because their voices, they can't match the voices. They can only match the movement. There's no way he would have known that. I told no one. You know, it's just, it's a really complicated world out there. And what we see with our nice rose-colored glasses are really not the reality of it, you know. But like I said, do I think that it's possible that there would be some damage done on a CAT scan that you could pick up? Depending on the race that abducted somebody, I think it's very possible. But they're very careful on how they do things. You know, there are good races. Just like, you know, we have good people and bad people, there are good races. I've healed some of the better races that, you know, are not threatening or dangerous. And some of them can be quite good. The bad ones, on the other hand, are pretty bad.
Well, it would make sense that there is a spectrum, just like in humans, there's a spectrum of good and bad.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's no reason to think why other beings wouldn't have the same spectrum and variation within one race or another race as well.
Yeah. Well, that's like I said, you know, I would not rule out that there would be some type of a situation on a CAT scan, just because it would depend, in my opinion, for whatever that's worth, it would depend on the race, you know, and how
right.
they present.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have our man from Canada, Mark Johnson. He's with us now. How are you doing, Mark?
Hey guys,
Mark.
Nice to be back on the show. It's a really interesting conversation I just walked into here. I think it's cool, and you guys sound like you're really onto something. I just got back from a work Christmas party, but, you know, I would never miss this for the world, so I'm happy to be back here.
Glad to have you here.
So
Trey and Robin, please continue, and then, Mark, we've got to get your story tonight, too.
Okay. Well, Mark, what we're talking about, there was an article in the New York Post this morning that I read that was originally published in The Sun, and this is not a scientific article, but it talks about a researcher who has done brain MRIs, and he's noticed in people that have claimed UFO abduction that there are some visible changes on MRI, which is not really what I would think about. I would think about visual evidence of the actual spacecraft or in the sky, but this would be visual evidence from the appearance of someone's brain after they've had a close encounter, especially if they had similar to the Havana syndrome. They could hear something, or they could feel the vibration, or they had some physical manifestation that they could detect. And if it's coming from a neurologic basis based on changes to the brain, then that might be evidenced in a follow-up MRI with the nature.
Yeah, well, Trey, court. I understand what you're saying there, and it's interesting from like a scientific background, like empirical evidence. We want to see things that we can measure and see and record, right? But even in my field, like psychology, there are like, you know, dealing with things like the psyche, we can't see and record it. So we got to look at kind of secondary things to kind of get at the psyche. And I think maybe this is the same way with alien phenomena. You're not going to get things so black and white laid out in physical ways because, to be honest, maybe in a lot of ways, their technology is non-physical, right? So I don't know. That's just me speculating and deducing. But based on the crafts that can just disappear and things, like maybe implants and things, maybe they're so ingrained in our biology, they're just, you can't differentiate the two. Or if you look close enough, maybe you will. Maybe you'll find something. And I think in a lot of cases I've heard of, there have been cases of implants and also regressive hypnosis techniques to get into these alien abduction stories. And I think if you look hard enough, I think you will find it. If your eyes are open and you're open-minded, I think you will see things from a scientific background. It's just a matter of looking.
Well, Robin, that was something that I did consider mentioning is regressive hypnotism. If you're hypnotized, you can remember things that you don't consciously remember, but that might be an option at some time if you're ever that curious to try to figure out what might have happened if you want to know.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about that. I really and truly have, because, you know, I do want to know. You know, I really do.
Did you believe you had some type of experience with ETs, like you were abducted or there some nighttime visitation or something along those sorts?
Well, I know I have. I do remember some of the abductions, and I've had the physical effects of it as well as the memories of it, but not all of them.
Yeah.
In fact, one abduction, a friend of mine was there as well, and the next morning I called her, and she's like, I was just going to call you. Do you remember last night? And she remembered it as well.
Amazing. That's some things that happened to me as a kid where I wake up to being kind of like a night terror. And just when I was really young, I must have only been 5, 6 years old, and I distinctly remember little beings like around my bed, you know, at least 5 of them there, and I couldn't move, couldn't do anything, and somehow I ended up on the floor, and I felt like they were doing things to me, and then when they left, I could then move again, I could cry back to my parents. But you know, when you're a kid and you're looking back at memories like this, you know, it's a bit hazy or whatever, but this is one that was distinct, I remember, and ever since I've wondered if it was some type of ET visitation along those sorts, because I did remember distinct shapes, distinct humanoid shapes in my room, and I could see, you know, based on different testimonies of what people have had, there seems to be a kind of a recurring theme, right? It's a recurring theme, and there's a lot of similarities between these experiencers, and I think there's something valid to it. I think there's something else going on here, whether they're interdimensional beings, whether they're here the whole time, they might like be on Earth, right? Just like us, but they're outside our perception. They don't necessarily have to be coming from other planets or star systems, although I think in all likelihood there are those as well. But, you know, some of the ones that we deal with directly, maybe I caught the tail end of what you guys were talking about, some of like the more malicious ones. You know, there could be ones working alongside the government, or the government itself is the lower part of a totem pole of some bad ET things going on too. I don't know. You could speculate, you know, or try to deduce what's going on, because, you know, my guess is as good as yours. But there's one thing for sure. There's something else going on here. with all the military testimonies and, you know.
Well, you have, like, in inner Earth, you have various parts of the Earth. I mean, the whole Earth is basically a tunnel system and cave system anyway. And so in certain areas, you have good ETs, you have bad ETs all down in inner Earth, but they had to come from somewhere. And then you have your, I don't want to say just reptilians, because I think that probably other races do this as well, but especially the reptilians, you know, when they do take possession of people. And I've encountered them. I've been attacked by them, you know, that literally walk among us. And people just assume they're a normal person because they look like a person. There are some subtle differences. And then one of the abilities I have is I can look at something, and regardless of what it presents itself as, I see it, like, let's say it looks like a donkey. I can look at it as a donkey, but then I can also see through it where I see what it actually is. Why I have that ability, I have no idea.
You know, in other animals, we have decoys, right? Like if you're hunting ducks, you have these duck decoys, and the ducks can't distinguish between a decoy plastic bird and the real thing. Now, like, you know, an advanced version of a decoy, maybe there are humans that are aliens that are human that are walking among us, or they're so human-like, but there are still distinctions. And if you know what you're looking for, maybe it's just like the difference that you were mentioning, donkey, like a donkey and a horse, or like a tiger and a lion or something like along those lines, coyote and a dog. You know, they're distinct animals, but if you're not paying attention to that, maybe they could be walking alongside us and maybe they have different facial dimensions or whatever, but you wouldn't, if you're not paying attention, you would never know too, right? So I think who knows, and and if they're creating hybrid humans and then implanting those in our system, I know that I've heard stories about that working in like deep underground bases in Los Alamos or something like that. There's some kind of interbreeding going on. And I think that's a common theme in a lot of the abduction stories, is there seems to be an interbreeding hybrid program going on with aliens and humans. That's what I've come across in my own studies on the matter.
Yeah. I mean, it's really intense. It really is. And it certainly is not just something really easy.
Okay, that's very interesting. And I guess I was going to go ahead, this is Dr. John, and I wanted to go ahead and talk about my story, a story that came around yesterday morning. There are pictures of apparently a UFO that landed in Mars, and it like skidded along the surface and it stopped. And it was just kind of weird. It was kind of interesting, and of course, someone on Coast to Coast AM, where the story came along, said, "Well, I kind of like, you know, modified the pictures and this and that." And I thought, great. That was my story. It was kind of interesting. It was kind of weird, and I don't believe.
Well, John, did they see an object skidding along? Because that would require a video feed, and you know, there's on Mars.
It was like a Google Earth style picture.
Oh, right.
Of something that happened, and I just don't believe a word of it. I mean, you know, I'm the first person that will say yes, there are UFOs. Yes, we have had all kinds of stuff happen. But when I see something that I don't believe, I'll just call it out. I don't believe it, and it was just kind of crazy. So I'll just say that, you know, I didn't believe a word of that. I didn't believe the picture. I didn't believe anything of it. But then we've got some interesting stories that Trey, that you've brought up, and you were certainly bringing up the fact that we've got to have evidence, and we've got to have good scientific evidence, and perhaps there is a correlation between alien experiences and the way the brain functions. And I can't wait to get my MRI back.
That, Yeah, and abnormalities that might result from some of those experiences where it does do some morphological change to the brain, which could be seen as, evidenced by an abnormal MRI.
Right, and so we'll find out, because in my book, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies, I talk about 8 different experiences I've had with lost time. And I really want to know what we find out from, because I ordered them. They said they'd send them to me, and we'll find out what we got. I'm not afraid for them to say, no, there's nothing wrong with your brain. I'm not afraid for them to say that. We'll see what happens. I don't know, but I think it's important to take this vein of research and go with it, because at least it might bring some fruit, don't you think, Trey?
Well, you got to figure if you have a 10,000 people who have not claimed any alien consequence, and you examine those MRIs, and you see the incidence of these findings at a certain percentage, and if you look at the brains of people who have claimed a UFO encounter and do MRIs, and it's a substantial difference between the test studies of the people that haven't claimed it and the people that have claimed it, well, then that does give you a lead point to figure out, well, this is a curiosity, that there's a statistically significant difference in identification of those findings of the people who were involved or were not involved. That's data. That could be real. So any time that I see something that can say this is real or not real, I'd be interested in pursuing that course of study.
Yeah. There's different ways evidence.
A lot of sense. It really does. And then Robin, thanks for your stories about what you have gone through, because experiencer studies are very important. And I know, and Robin, I know you'll agree with that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that whether one person has 1,000 stories or someone has one story, they're equally as important, because it all puts, just like we've talked about this with the Bigfoot, it's all part of the pieces of the puzzle. And it doesn't even matter if, like, per se, an individual has had none, but yet they have an opinion. That's all needs to be brought into that fold as a collective to figure it out. There's no part of it that is any more important than the other.
Exactly. And if you go back to Betty and Barney Hill, the first couple that had an alien abduction experience, and they came back to report from it, it's like, you know, what is going on? We've got to examine all of the stories, and we've got to see what's going on. And Mark Johnston, what is your comment to all of this? Because you're actually the one that gave us the theme for this story tonight.
Well, in a court of law, right, a big part is testimony, witness testimony, right? And people get thrown away for their whole lives in jail because of witness testimony. So we can't just throw away any witness testimony of UFOs and alien experiences like they don't matter, like it's all in their head, like whatever, because, you know, it holds weight just like it does in court. But that being said, I think we need more as well, and I think there is more. Now we're starting to see things coming out from the government and different countries and military. And, you know, maybe people that were scared to disclose these things in the past because, you know, they would have been punished for doing so. If you're part of a secret military thing and you disclose some confidential information, then, you know, there's some repercussions to that. But, you know, as time goes on, right, I think we've heard more and more about that. That's part of, like, some of the disclosure stories I've heard over the years, and as well as, I don't know if you guys have seen the documentary on Bob Lazar. He came out in the 80s with all of these claims. He was working for
Los Alamos.
And, and a lot of the things he said at the time, you know, seemed fantastical and ridiculous, but then were confirmed over time. For example, he said that there was this one thing where he put his hand in and it scanned his hand parameters of his, like, bones and his, like, phalanges and metacarpals or whatever, and that's how they scanned into the underground base or whatever. And at the time, nobody knew about this. Well, 20 years later, they disclosed that this technology was actually for a certain type of clearance, for military clearance. That's what was actually used. So as time goes on, there's more verification in stories like that. And kind of there, I think there was potentially a lot of kind of attempted reverse engineering on some of these technologies that either they were found or given, potentially, who knows. It could have been found, like, as a relic. It could have been a new crash, or it could have been something aliens just like, here, take this and figure it out type of thing. And the article I gave you was one of these kind of testimonies where a guy worked, I think it was at Stanford, and there was apparently a bunch of materials he was given that were part from an apparent UFO crash. And he was saying that there was some metallurgy kind of artifacts that had, like, really strange qualities to it, like geranium with, like, these weird transistors in them and things, and it just doesn't make sense. So if some of these come to light, some of these technologies, it might be the kind of hard evidence we need. Or, you know, people are just going to be always in denial. Like, you can show somebody, you know, direct evidence, and there's always going to be people in denial of it as well. So I think it's a matter of, the evidence is there. We just have to open our eyes, be open-minded, and dig in, do some research, and we'll see that there's, in fact, something else going on here, whether it's aliens from another planet or what's going on, but there's something that we're not being told, and there's something like iceberg, like, beneath the surface. There's a lot more going on than what we know.
Well, and I think, too, that in the beginning treaties, it was stated that in exchange for the technology our government was given, one of the things on our part, in order for, you know, the conditions from the ETs, was deniability. Our government was never allowed to confirm that the ETs existed. That was one of the conditions. And that kind of set the precedent for the fact that they're never going to admit that they're here. And this was hundreds of years ago. But our government agreed to keep the secret. But see, now what's happened is all these years later, and you can only keep millions and millions of people quiet for so long, and the government continues to deny it, but yet the ETs are also getting more sloppy because people are remembering and more people are abducted daily. And then you have the good ETs that, just like the ones that gave me the message to make sure people were aware of what was going on. So they want it put out there to protect people. And so all these things are going on, and the government now looks ridiculous because they're still denying something that everybody has already, not everybody, but a large majority of people are witnessing. So now they're starting to do these soft disclosures, because what do? You know, they look foolish for going out and saying, they're not there, they're not there, they're not there. Oh, look at all these videos of them and people seeing them and coming forward, and now we're finding implants and physical, you know, attributes that are showing up on people for them. So what do? And so now they're starting the soft disclosures of what everybody already knew. But in the beginning, that's why there was so much deniability, not to mention the fact that then they have to admit that our government was basically selling us for technology. And now they've got to acknowledge that they've lied to us for technology. You know, and it really, and there's also ETs that are within the government. They're out there walking among us. I've seen them. I've been attacked by them. I've had people with me when these things have happened. You know, I got attacked by the reptilian that looked human and clearly wasn't in Pennsylvania. Had my friend not been there with me at the same time, I don't know what would have happened. I mean, this thing was able to walk through a wall into the hotel room and grab me and rip me off of bed. Had my friend not been sleeping in the next bed over, I don't know what would have happened.
Well,
you know, I mean...
from a scientific approach, like there's experiments that are done that where the people who are part of the experiment do not know that they're a part of an experiment, right? And some of the people who are doing the experiment, it's like double blind studies and whatever. So we have these people running experiments who might not even know what the experiment's about. And then we might have us that might be a part of a greater experiment as well. So it might be kind of that analogy or literally, but as well that maybe there is disclosure going on, but it's part of a process. They're not just laying everything down at once. Maybe it's through movies and literature and through other things. And through just flashing
lights.
And I don't
think they can.
Maybe it's a, yeah.
I just don't think that realistically, even if they wanted to put it all out there at one time, number one, I don't think it's safe because it's going to create mass panic that the government is not prepared to deal with. And two, not only in the panic situation, but people, the thought to them that this is actually going on and they've been lied to, the anger and the sheer chaos that would create. There's just for so many reasons that it's one of those things where they're in too deep now. That you just can't go out there and spill 100% of the beans. I think the only way that they can do it and have any type of sanity with a lot of people is slow disclosure. Really, I mean, as much as everybody wants the truth, that old saying is you can't handle the truth is very real. You know, there's people that can handle the truth, and then there's people that simply can't. And even the ones that say they can handle the truth, I'm not really sure they can, because you're talking about a truth that we may think we know, but for everything we think we know, there's probably 100 times more we don't. And I just don't think that to lay it all on the line is safe for anybody.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Robin. And I wanted to say thank you for those really important opinions, and Mark. And I want to give Dr. Trey Donaway the final word tonight as we close up on ScaryCast. Are you there with Dr. Trey?
Yes, John. I think what we talked about tonight, it's nice to look for physical evidence. It's nice to have that. Speculation will fill a lot of gaps, but if there is soft disclosure going on, I think we can look forward to years of soft disclosure, and maybe some information will come to light that will confirm, just like in Men in Black, when they say people really have known all along, and of course their reference point is the National Enquirer. Who knows? Perhaps.
Well, I guess I can say that they were outside of my business for 2 years because I found out some information that I shouldn't have. So I know that they are real, and don't know what else I can say. But anyway, I wanted to say thank you. We've had a great ScaryCast tonight. We'll have another one next week. We'll have our Christmas ScaryCast, and it'll be a lot of fun. We'll probably talk about the Krampus and all kinds of cool things. So anyway, I wanted to thank our panelists tonight. I wanted to thank Dr. Trey Donaway. I wanted to thank Robin McCray and Mark Jones. And we've had a great time. And I wanted to say thank you very much to everybody. And we'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. I'm sorry, Monday night. We got another podcast Sunday night. On Monday night on ScaryCast. Thanks a lot. We'll see you then, okay?
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Bye, everybody. Good night.
Good night.